it's great to have an opportunity to talk to Mark Savard and for you to listen and learn a whole lot more on the subject of what this man has been through. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Thanks.
Doing terrific, and glad to hear that you're returning to something that resembles normalcy after what you've gone through. I can't imagine in the darkest days that you could look forward to just waking up and just being a regular human being. Has to have been an amazing time. Do you feel like that you're almost where you want to be now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like I said, the story says, I went through a lot, and it's been a tough road. But yeah, for the last couple of years, I've been doing real well, you know, really focusing on my kids and coaching and having a great time and just enjoying life with my family.
What's been it like watching the league and games? You've been away enough time. Has it made it any easier to the first 6 months? Anybody who retires, regardless of the principles and the reasons involved, says they have a tough time with it. What's it like now for you?
Yeah, I think I'm at peace now with it. You know, the first couple of years, definitely, that I've been out of the game was really tough. I didn't watch it as much, but it's almost like 3 years that I missed after I was done. I kind of just ignored the game I think it felt better that way. And then, you know, the last 3 years I've been kind of watching a lot of hockey again and getting back in the swing of things. So it was definitely tough for the first while, but like I said, you know, I'm really busy here coaching the kids and, you know, I have 4 kids. So just being around them really makes things great, and I have a great wife and a great family. And they've really been a major part of my rehab, I guess, back to normal.
I don't want to downplay the time that you missed at the end of your career, but the fact of the matter is you did get to play into your 30s. I wonder how you might have looked at this if this would have happened to you early in your career, in your 20s, and having to look back on a whole career that you would have missed.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I would have been... that had stung a little more, but I did get to enjoy a successful career and play a lot of games in the NHL and do what I loved for a lot of long time. So it's tough to look back with any regrets, you know, now it's all said and done. I enjoyed what I did, the people I met along the way, and I owe everything to still the game of hockey. So in saying that, it was a great run for the time it lasted.
Mark Savard's joining us, Brady and Price, at 7:37 on this Wednesday morning. You can read his Players Tribune piece online. It's quite intense. Tell us about writing that. You've done interviews and most have been in print over the last year or so. What made you want to lay all this out? And I always ask this for people who write books. That's a lot more reading and a lot more labor intensive. But was there stuff you just said, you know what, this part's mine? Or was it just lay it all out, be as open, be as transparent as you could possibly be?
Well, I think that was the biggest thing, was to just tell my whole story. And, you know, I've been approached for many years to talk about it, and I just didn't feel I was at a stage where I was ready to just lay it all out. And I think, you know, the Players Tribune had approached me for the last couple of years, and I just didn't feel comfortable at the time. And then I just got to a point in my life where I think I've seen other things go on with people that didn't do so well also, and it turned for the worse. I just thought, you know, I think it's a good time to get my story out and let everybody know that, you know, if you talk about it, you know, it does help. And I had a great supporting cast, and the people around me were fantastic, and it really helped me get back to where I am today.
I know you've asked at times, why me? And it obviously, no matter who it would be, they would, because it didn't happen just once. It happened a couple of times, and you're like, I can't believe I'm back there. And yet there are some players that have the hits that you did, and it doesn't react in the same way. It's really arbitrary, these concussions. It's so bizarre that certain hits can result in devastation and some just roll right off. It's a weird thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, and that's the toughest thing on me, is to just, on the outside, you don't really see what's going on, and for me to go through what I did and just seem, you know, I seem normal at times, and it's the toughest thing. But like you said, like it just the way you get struck or whatever it is. I mean, there's not 100% still certain why these things happen and why they're happening or how they're happening. So I know there's a lot of studying going on, and it's gotten a lot better, that's for sure. But it's a tough thing for sure, and it's something that I hope people don't have to go through, because it's very, very challenging.
Mark Savard is our guest. The I wouldn't say the legality of it, but the punitive phase of being injured on the hit from Matt Cook, then watching him not be punished. I mean, it was a mix of you dealing with physical things, dealing with mental things, but also I don't know how there wasn't anger. I do think the league let you down. I think they went through a bad time where they were letting a lot of players down when Colin Campbell was doling out discipline. Do you look now and say, at a certain point it turned and it is better, and there's a greater understanding of a punishment has to fit the crime?
Yeah, I mean, it was mixed emotions when there was no punishment at the time. But we did get the blindside, you know, we bought the blindside hit in, and it, you know, players are more aware, obviously, now, and things have gotten better. I just still, at the end of the day, as I sit here, is just, and I think back even to the Crosby situation with Niskanen, I know it doesn't look deliberate, but it's still a headshot, and I think the suspension needs to be, no matter what, whether it's deliberate or not, you're still you still hit the head, whether you meant to or not. There needs to be time served for that, just so players are even more aware that, you know, no matter what, it's just an area you cannot hit, whether it's deliberate or not. There needs to be a major fine. It needs to start at, you know, I don't know, 7 games. It needs to get up into big numbers right away, so it's that clear. So that's something I like to be changed about it. And I know there wasn't a suspension at the time, but it has gotten better for sure.
Guys say that they miss competition more than anything else. And here you are. I mean, congratulations. You've qualified in golf for the Ontario Amateur and the Mid Amateur. Does that help? I mean, you're an athlete, right? You're still competing, and obviously you're competing very well.
Yeah, that's kind of, yeah, my competition now, and I'm still a competitor for sure. And golf has kind of taken over, you know, that aspect of my life. So it's been great, though. I really love the game. I spent a lot of time doing it. You know, I'm also coaching. I coached AAA a couple of years here, and I keep busy that way. But, yeah, golf's for sure my love now, and it's a great thing to do. You know, you get out on the course, and you're at peace for four or five hours, and it's something that I really love doing, and I'm excited to play in the Ontario Am and the Mid-Am.
Last thing for you. You weren't a fighter per se, but when you played in the OHL, there were a lot more fights. It has dropped exponentially from where it was based on the legislation. I'm a firm believer, Mark, that it won't be in the NHL. I don't know whether it'll be 5 years, but I don't think it's going to be longer than 7 or 8 years. And if you fight, you're getting a game misconduct. And if you have a lot of fights, you're getting suspended. Do you see that, or do you think it'll always be there?
That's a great question. I think I don't foresee it leaving myself. I think there's a lot of fans that are in the building to watch that stuff happen. So I find it tough. I mean, do I want to see it leave? I don't know. There's a lot of guys that earn a living doing that stuff, and I'd hate to be the guy to say, you know, it's not going to be happening anymore. So it's a tough situation, and it's one that I really don't want to really comment on too strongly.